are now listening to the Serious Growth Podcast with your host, Leo Costa Jr.
This segment, you know, back in the heyday, when I was coming through in bodybuilding, one of the things, one of our direct mail pieces that we wrote, the first one, it was, the title of it was, I've got to get this off my chest before I explode. I don't know if you, have you seen that one?
No, but I've heard you talk about it.
Okay. And so I can really, you know, I get like this, I've been like this and get like this throughout my career. And so what I want to do is I want this segment basically to be called, you know, I got to get this off my chest segment. Okay. And the topic that I want to talk about is about the results are a reflection of the struggle, your struggle. And that applies to people of all walks of life, any industry, as far as I'm concerned. I think the, you know, when you see people that rise to the top, I told you that, Charlie, that I watch a lot of these documentaries on different, you know, different types of people who make it in an industry. And one of my favorite industries to watch and to listen to their story are bands. In the way that they start. And it's just a very fascinating rise to the top for the ones that do make that, you know. And certainly understand and the common thing among people who make it to the top is that they struggle. At the end of the day, if they're relative and relatable and relevant, 5 years, 10 years, 40 years down the road, like the Stones, I just watched them. It just doesn't happen. And so I'm always conflicted because I've said it before, bodybuilding for me, changed my life forever. And it arguably, maybe almost took me out, took my life because, you know, I mean, I had these health problems 9.5 years ago. And for those that don't know, I was paralyzed from having 3 strokes in 3 weeks. Okay, now arguably, you could say that bodybuilding has something to do with that. And that would be a fair statement. For the reasons that in that sport, it's all based on extreme behavior. And it's a very difficult thing to manage, because if you're not all in, you can't do that sport. And I see the same thing in other areas, you know. So I'm always conflicted because of the environment. I mean, I've had these personal training studios and I've trained in plenty of gyms. And I just see that the environment has changed, and I don't think for the better. And yet I can't expect for everyone to have the same mindset that I do when they go into the gym. Because what happens in most cases is the difference between me being inside a gym, me being inside my training studio with the mindset that I have and have because of bodybuilding, it's hard for me to get out of that. I am not competing to the level that I did. I'm not competing at all. I'm competing against myself. But I still have that mindset, and I find myself getting like really locked down and to the point where I know that people that are around me, which I don't care, but I can sense that people that are around me don't get it. Kind of in the same way, like I don't get them and the reason why they're there. That reasons why they're at the studio or at a gym working out, because it's a difference between having this mindset where I've got a job to do, I'm focused, don't fucking bother me. I can tell you that when I'm training, I have a client or two that trained with me, and they understand that when they come in and start working out, because they chose to work out with me in my hour, 45 minutes. Not hour and 45, but 45 minutes. So they know that the minute we start, it's go time. It's not chat time. I mean, there's just enough chat to ask that person, how are you doing? You need more weight, you need less weight. Okay, there's that. But here's what drives me fucking crazy, and this is where I have to get this off my chest before I explode. Here we are at that, okay? is that I can't expect for those people to have the same goals that I do, even though I'm not competing. But what drives me crazy is when I see people in there that are, here's the difference. When they come in to chit chat, play patty back, or, you know, have high fives and huggies, and they are talking and chatting, and then a workout breaks out every once in a while. That bugs the shit out of me. And so I'm always torn with that, you know, because I can't expect them to be all thinking the way that I'm doing. You want me to say something? Well, I do. And I want to, and how I think it relates, because you, I know you well enough, and I know that you're not really that person that really is into the gym. You go in and do it. I get it. But think of it this way. How about if you have a band, four members in a band, and you got one member in that band that likes to chit-chat while you guys are trying to cut a record or come up with some creative shit, and you got this one guy, maybe two guys, that just want to chit-chat. You know, they're not like, they're not putting the music first. It's kind of second. Do you get what I'm saying? What were you going to say?
100%.
All right, let's take a quick break so I can tell you about our product.
Do you want a bone-crushing grip? Good, because you're going to get one with the amazing new TRS Gripper. It's a progressive grip builder with longer handles and a special ergonomic design that's like a dozen hand grippers in one. Start off easy and work your way up to quickly build your grip strength from wet noodle to pulverizing. The package includes a video from the world-famous strength coach, Dr. Russ Horine, the man who worked with Leo Costa to help bring you big beyond belief in the Bulgarian Power Burst. Dr. Horine shows you a simple and easy to follow workout plan that takes just minutes a day right from in front of your TV set if you want. So click on the link below and let's get started building you a stronger, firmer, bone-crushing grip.
I get what you're saying. And I think it's one of the reasons I kind of left playing music, but I think it's just what it comes down to is the people that make it, like yourself or the musicians you've been watching, it's who you are. Like when I edit, I put this more with me.
Okay. In the movies. I wanted to get to where you could like really relate to this.
I don't understand other people. And it, not because like a lot of the editors I work with are like the people at the gym where they're just kind of chit-chatting, but yeah. I mean people in life. Like, I want to sit in front of my computer 24/7 and work hard. And other people are like, you don't want to hang out or go to the bar? I'm like, no, waste of time.
Yeah.
You get what I mean?
I do. And the thing about that is that mindset that you have? Because it's not all positive. And that's the thing. But it is based on a priority. Because what happens with it, your line of thinking, I can 100% tell you that bodybuilding, not only did it have an impact on my physical life, but it had an impact on my personal life with being married at that particular time, because I was exactly what you're talking about. I was 100% in, but it impacts other things around you. And I get that. And maybe the sort of the motto or the, you know, the thing that we learn from that is that it is about a priority and there's consequences for that. So which one is better? I mean, I don't know. I'm always struggling with that.
I just know, and you have to agree with this, is that when I was in a past relationship a couple years ago, and I was focused on half and half, nothing happened. As soon as I got out of that relationship, and I said, hey, it's game time. I got a whole bunch of side jobs, got this job. You know, I was able to put the time that was needed into what was needed. Or same with the musicians, same with you. If you can't 100% put yourself in,
it's going to be a hobby, and you're always going to be conflicted to some degree. I mean, because not everybody's going to agree with that. And the lesson that you're talking about is 100% how the physiology works, because the minute you start doing something half, trying to please both in this case, or trying to be a really, let's just use an example, be a good father, be a good husband, and do your work. The minute you do that half, something's got to give. Something is going to be compromised. And that's a hard fact as far as I'm concerned.
I think unless you have just, you were born with stupid natural talent.
But how, a lot of us are. Yeah, not. Most aren't. Uh-huh. I think from a lot of the stories that I read about and, you know, and see on some of these documentaries, it's like the ones that have the natural gift are actually, you know, they actually don't ever live up to their full potential as much as the ones that have to work their fucking ass off. I mean, that's just, and again, you're right. There are people out there that are just naturals, but that's a minority.
Everything I've done with the skateboarding, the music, the editing, I have others around me. We all get into it at the same time.
Yeah.
They're miles ahead of me the first week where it takes me like a year.
Yeah.
That's why I have to sit there in my room and edit 24 hours a day. I have to work hard to get good at stuff.
Yeah.
I have no natural talent.
Well, and again, look, there's plenty of people out there that are just not 100%, for example, natural singers. I'll give you a good example. Adele's voice compared to Mick Jagger's voice. Mick Jagger doesn't have a great voice. Adele is pure. She can sit in a chair and sing the alphabet. It'll sound fucking fantastic. Yeah. Mick Jagger can't do that, but Mick Jagger's and the Rolling Stones, how big of superstars are they?
I guarantee their tickets are still more than Adele today.
Oh, hell yeah.
You know?
I mean, these guys are still out there doing it. As far, you know, based on what I just saw over the weekend, they're still out there. They're at, what, 70 now? Maybe even 170. I don't know. They look like they're about 170, but they're still out there doing it. You can check that out, you know? But it makes me crazy a little bit. I have to bite my tongue, like in my own
77.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're still doing it, man. I don't know. And they're to an extent, especially Keith Richards, they're freaks of nature. I mean, he smokes about 1,000 cigarettes a day and he's still doing it. And Mick Jagger runs up and down and all around. How do you do that shit and still sing? I mean, it's, you know, so it's like you said, you know, you have to work your ass off. But you don't always have to be the most talented or have the best voice to become something fantastic like they have, you know. But it drives me crazy all the time because, you know, people make comments and I know what they really mean. Like when they, you know, for example, me being in the gym and I'm, you know, getting bigger and I had somebody approach me the other day. I was doing like this little dumbbell isolation. And I go, why are you making a grunting noise when that is so light? It's like, obviously you don't know what the hell you're talking about. I mean, I'm biting my tongue. I'm thinking this, you know, you sit in some shows every once in a while that somebody will say something to a guy and in his head, he's thinking the shit that he wants to do to him. You know what I mean?
I remember you telling me that and I didn't second guess you because I took karate.
Yeah.
You learn why you do that.
Yeah.
So go ahead. Yeah. I know that you're like, releases like more energy and more.
Well, the thing about it is people like that don't understand that there's a difference between training and weightlifting. You know, they don't understand. How can they? But on the other hand, there are people out there that they settle. You know, they use different reasons why they can't make the results that they want. And this is kind of where I'm always torn when people come in to the gym, because I think that there should be more people that make more progress. And it doesn't always have to do with the trainer. It has to do with the person themselves, because they don't actually jump on, and maybe that's not their goal, but it's like when they make comments to you, I don't want to look like that. Oh, gross. What they're really saying is that's just my way of letting myself off the hook, because I can guarantee you something. Arnold Schwarzenegger said this to somebody who said, that's gross. I don't want to look like you. He says, don't worry, you won't, you know, type of thing. And sometimes it just triggers me. And I have to understand that what that person really means is that they don't understand. And I can't expect for them to have the same mindset as I do and focus. And I think that you're letting yourself off the hook. It's your way of lowering the bar for you to be able to attain what you're okay with as far as your own narrative. I'm okay with looking like this. But you know what? If truth be told, and this is my opinion, I think that more people would want to look different rather than settle. But settling is the easier path to go down. Mm-hmm. But how in so many parts of life people do that, right?
I think it'd be different if you walk into the gym and you're cut you have a six pack and you're like, I don't want to be huge. Then you're like, okay, this guy has potential to be huge. Yeah. He just doesn't want to.
Yeah.
But someone that's a couch potato, I'm like, I never want to be like that. Then I get what you're, you get what I mean?
Yeah.
And then you're like, yeah, well, you're never going to look like that. Yeah. And you don't want to do nothing.
Yeah. And you know, the thing is as humans, we are we rationalize to the bone as human beings, you know, just for the sake of, oh, look, that's how I can live with, I can live with myself on a day-to-day basis. And yet I think that I've been that person, you know. There was a time in my life where I was at a lot of personal problems, going through a divorce, and da-da. I even got to the point, Charlie, and this is me, a guy who I had done all these competitions for, you know, 12, 13 years. And I was hardcore into this thing. And then when I was going through all these personal problems, I gave it up. And I talked myself into the fact that I said, you know, I don't want to do this anymore. It's part of the problem, my problems that I'm having. I blamed it on, you know, I used different excuses to let myself off the hook. So 8 months later, or 10 months later, I was like 80 pounds overweight. I mean, and then it got to the point where I had a, you know, I think human beings have a tendency to, you know, to be proactive when they're having a lot of pleasure or a lot of pain. And I don't think anything in between. I think it has to be at one of those extremes before you do something. And how many times are you having, and I heard this when it was a group, I think it was the Eagles, when they talked about, you know, at first you're taking a bite out of the apple and it's good. And you take a bigger bite. And this is like your career is growing, you know, all these concerts and your life. Then all of a sudden the apple starts eating you and it fucking eats you alive. And I think that's kind of where I got, you know, in my career, because I was amazed that I had talked myself into the fact that I don't, you know, this is something that I hate. I rebelled against bodybuilding. I rebelled against working out. I stopped. This is at a time when I had my own personal training studio, training clients. And I said, fuck this. I don't like this shit anymore. You know, I was training clients and I was getting fat. I became a fat fuck, to tell you the truth. You know, one day, and you talk yourself in such a way that you're in denial. Oh, I don't look so bad. You know, that kind of thing. And then that one day, I think I've talked about this before. I walked outside and actually it was my car, the window. And I saw a quick reflection of me. And for that split second, I go, who the fuck is that fat fuck?
That's what I was going to say. Who the fuck?
Who the fuck is this? Oh, fuck, it's me. Okay, that pain. I still didn't come back to the gym. I still didn't go back to the gym. But I'll tell you what I did do. I started dieting like a motherfucker, you know? And I said, I don't ever, ever, ever want to look like that again. Horrifying. And yet I thought I looked okay. Not bad.
It happens fast.
God damn, man. You know, this is how much sometimes we fool ourselves. And of course, this is kind of what I'm talking about with people that come to the gym and I'm in a constant fight. I just keep telling myself, shut the fuck up. Just shut the fuck up. You know, don't respond to that stupid fuck or whatever, you know? I don't know if you get that, if you have that, like, it's like get ripped apart, you know?
All the time.
Right? And then, so if I don't get this off my fucking chest before I explode, bad shit's going to happen.
I have a lot more conversations than what I have. You get, because they're all in my head.
Yeah.
I'm always, yeah, I know exactly how you, every day I tell 10 people to shut the fuck up and no one hears it.
Exactly. It's, I don't know, man. It's just, it drives me wild. And yet, you know, I think, look, you know, it's kind of like what happened to me when I had my strokes, right? I realized, because my mindset of all or nothing will never go away. I don't think it'll ever go away, Charlie. I'm just built that way. An athlete, you know, athletic mindset, and then put on top of that a bodybuilder's mindset. It gets fucking crazy. Most people who don't go down that path can't really understand that. Like, I can't really understand the path that you go down as a creative artist, because from what I've seen a lot of times in the creative arts is the great ones are fucking crazy. A little bit and a lot, you know. I go back to when I was watching that band thing I was talking about, Axl Rose. Oh, yeah. That motherfucker, I don't know if you know his story.
Oh, I know every detail about him.
And I cracked up because I saw, oh my God, I saw where they were in, I think, LA, and he was throwing a fucking fit. I mean, there was a, did you see that one footage where when he was singing, I don't know if these are the same. I think this happened. And then the next to
St. Louis,
when somebody said something, camera, and he jumped out in the middle of those fuckers. Uh-huh. And then the next show, I think they were like in LA. I don't know if they're, again, if it's the right order, but they arrested him. The LA Police Department arrested him to bring him to the fucking concert that people were waiting for Guns N' Roses to sing. He didn't want to show up. Uh-huh. A fucking crazy man. And yet, I mean, he was a kind of a creative genius. Would you say that? Or am I wrong about that?
No, yeah, I think, because if you really, I know they have like 5 CDs, but one was a demo, one was covers. So let's be honest, they had 3 CDs. And out of those 3, one was Appetite, their first one, and then the other 2 was one CD that they put into 2.
Yeah.
So really they had 2 CDs.
Yeah.
I just think if they would have stayed together longer, that would have been, everyone says it, like Ozzy says it, but everyone, they would have been by far the biggest band ever. They're a huge band.
Yeah.
But I mean, there was something different. And a lot of it was, I would say Slash and Axl, but the main one was Axl's a genius.
Yeah.
Like a genius. And I even think stuff like, if you just put go into YouTube, put Axl Rose incidents or whatever, it's hours of just crazy shit. And I think a lot of it, of the genius, is kind of stuff like that.
Yeah.
Making people wait 2 hours and everyone's like, what a dick. I'm like, no, I know what he's doing. Because he's building that motherfucker up. You know what I mean? I always got everything he was doing.
Yeah.
Is it right? I'm not saying it's right, but I got it.
Yeah. It just seems like to me, because I lived that life, not to that extent, Charlie, but when I was in bodybuilding to that extreme, when I look back, when you're in that moment, you don't think the same way as when you're out of that moment. You look back and go, holy fuck, I was that guy to a degree. It's like, holy shit. No wonder people were calling me a fucking asshole and they thought I was this type of person. Because I was, but I almost had to be, you know? And I hate to use that as like a reason or an excuse. And like even this, how could you possibly, when you're in a band or being around somebody, how could you possibly live in that environment and it work out? I don't know how it can. I look back now and I'm still that way. The difference is I'm not as much as I was. I'm still extreme behavior. I had to learn. One of the things I was going to tell you during this was one of the things I had to learn, and I was forced to learn it because it was do or die. It was, you know, if I didn't learn how to compartmentalize my life, Axl Rose, everything was just like in one big bundle of, you know, he didn't compartmentalize as far as from what I saw in that documentary. Everything was just all lumped into one. It's raw. And I learned that after having my health conditions, I knew, because when the doctor told me at the hospital, he says, I don't want you to compete again. I don't want you to go back for six months. I thought, he's out of his fucking mind. You know, and that's, I went back too soon. And I relapsed and had the third stroke. But this is where, talking about that pleasure and pain, there was so much pain there that I knew I had to make a change. And Axl Rose had to make a change too. I mean, afterwards he talked, I don't know what he's like today, but I had to make a change. I had to compartmentalize my life. Because if I live life flat, I'm fucked. I'm going to be very unhappy. I already know how I am. I got to have something going on. I got to have something that I'm into so I can dive all the way into it, because the shit that I get into is based on passion. I learned that. I never want to get into anything that doesn't give me buzz and I'm not passionate about. I can't do that. It's too flat. I get bored and then bad shit starts happening. I get unhappy. You know what I mean? I don't know if that happens to you, but I had to learn how to compartmentalize. And what that did for me, and this is where I am today, what that did for me is it allowed me, I allowed myself to get batshit crazy, but just for a very short period of time. I go into my gym now and I focus, and that hour I'm in. But I got to come out of that. That doesn't mean that I'm still not into other projects that I'm doing, but that in that particular moment, I'm all in. Okay, life is going to be stressful. It's going to be up and down. I say that you need to give your life, you know, when stress is happening, you need to address it. You can't pretend like it's not there. If you got shit going on, you got problems, you can't pretend that it's not there. You got to deal with it. So I put that shit in a box. The difference is I give it a certain amount of time. And it takes discipline, by the way, because it took me a while to get like this. I said, okay, I'm going to allow myself to be stressed out and pissed off about this for 24 and no more than 48 hours. I'm going to give her hell because your body can handle that. Your physiology, even if you've had strokes, where it fucks you up is when it's chronic, when it's in your day in and day out. That was one of the lessons that I learned because, like I said, I can't do anything half-assed. It just goes against everything that I believe in. You know, do you experience some of these things? I mean, you're a young guy, much younger than me. You know, I'm the good news, I think, is that now that I've experienced this much life, I know shit. And I know shit that really works for me. It just because I'm doing what I'm telling you I'm doing doesn't mean that it works for you. But I would think, I kind of think I know a little bit of who you are, just based on what you're saying. You have to be like 24/7. That's not normal. That shit will catch up to you. What do you think? Let's take a quick pause to tell you about something you are definitely going to want.
Do you want a bone-crushing grip? Good, because you're going to get one with the amazing new TRS Gripper. It's a progressive grip builder with longer handles and a special ergonomic design that's like a dozen hand grippers in one. Start off easy and work your way up to quickly build your grip strength from wet noodle to pulverizing. The package includes a video from the world-famous strength coach, Dr. Russ Horine, the man who worked with Leo Costa to help bring you big beyond belief in the Bulgarian Power Burst. Dr. Horine shows you a simple and easy to follow workout plan that takes just minutes a day right from in front of your TV set if you want. So click on the link below and let's get started building you a stronger, firmer, bone-crushing grip.
I just think I'm 31 now, and so much of my life I feel is wasted because I haven't thought about myself. I haven't put the time into anything really because I always like, well, I'll put 40 in. And now I'm like, fuck that. Every time I put in 100, I've seen results.
Yeah.
So why not do it until I get what I want?
You yeah. know
what
I mean? Yeah. Funny that you say that because I remember. And here's the good news. I remember thinking the same way. And I was about your age. I'm thinking, God damn, man, I'm 30 years old. And I start comparing, like, maybe friends of mine. Uh-huh. Fuck, these guys are doing this or they have this. And here I am living with mom, you know, because when I went through my divorce, I was fucked. I mean, there was a lot of other shit that went on. I don't want to talk about it. I don't need to, you know. But I landed there. And that just makes you think even more, you know. So it's weird. But the good news is, you know, if you, it turns around pretty fast if you focus. I think that's what you're saying. But you still have to be, you know, you have to be mindful, you know, you have to have something that counterbalances you, because you'll get so far in, you won't even know that you're doing some of the shit that you're doing. You know, I think. Anyway, I just, you know, so I wanted to unload some of this shit today. You know, because I see stuff in my studio, my gym, and I go, oh, fuck.
Just so you know, Axl Rose today is really good. He, I don't know if you heard, him and most of the band got back together.
I didn't.
Yeah, so Slash and him, you know, the main one, Slash yeah. and Death, the bass
player. Yeah.
They haven't talked, like, him and Slash haven't talked since 97. They all got back together, and then at the exact same time, AC/DC singer lost his hearing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So Axl went and sang for them.
I saw that on that documentary.
And Guns N' Roses was never late for either show. Never, no incidences anymore. So it seems like he's learned how to,
yeah,
what you're saying, you
yeah,
know, balance everything and doing good.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really interesting, you know. And it's a for me, Charlie, it's like, and I like to tell other people this because sometimes you think you're the only one, but it's never easy. And this goes back to what we're talking about. The results, you know, it's always a reflection of the struggle. And I think that certain amount of this stuff is a struggle. It's not easy. It looks maybe to other people to the outside, they think, oh my God, you know, these guys, you know. And I listened to a podcast the other day from Aerosmith. You know, I have this, you know, my idea of these guys is, oh my God, all this money. And Aerosmith, you know, Steve Tyler says, you'd be surprised.
He said that a lot of people give him crap for American Idol.
Yeah.
He said, I did that because I needed money.
Right.
I wanted a new house.
Exactly. I just saw that. Like, I just saw the podcast.
Was it on Joe Rogan?
Yeah.
Yeah. And he was like, dude, you're Aerosmith. He's like,
yeah. Yeah,
it's not what you think.
Yeah,
you
know? And he says you'll be surprised. You know, all I'm thinking is all this fucking money of all these concert sales. Well, a lot of these guys get fucked over.
But he also did say a lot of it went towards drugs.
That true. You know, that's like, right. He takes no. I like him because he takes ownership of that.
Yeah, big time.
Which I think is really a good lesson for most people to look at and say, look, you know what? If there's a problem, my dad used to say this. He said 95% of the time, go look at the mirror and you'll find out where it is. I think there's a lot of truth to that. You got to own up to that. And it's a hard thing to do, right? Yeah. You got to own up to that shit and say, you know what? Yeah, I was a part of it, maybe even the biggest part of it. I know like with people that are trying to recover from strokes, you know, they go into victim mode, you know, again, not because they can't think for themselves, because they can't face up to the part that they may have played in where they're at right now. You know, and I think it's the same thing with any walk of life. I had to take ownership of the fact that, because I always said in the beginning, it wasn't that. It wasn't bodybuilding. It wasn't that. It could have been, you know, because it was chronic. And then you add all this shit in your life with stress, you know, going through court. And look, life is always fucking you around. It's going to. That's just part of life. It's just knowing how to respond to that. It's not what happens to you. It's how you respond to that. And that's way easier said than done. But when you can get a grasp of that little by little, then all of a sudden, like I look now, I'm thinking, oh, shit, man, you know, I'm in a pretty good spot. The difference is I don't let that, you know, it's like, okay, I'm not going to like let off. I want to be mindful. I don't want to get too cocky. I want to stay humble. Not that shit won't happen to you, but you're just a little more possibly prepared for it. So anyway, so this is my segment today was to get this, throw this shit up, you know, and talk a little bit how it applies to, you know, the bodybuilding, the sport that I'm in, the people that are around me that I deal with or don't deal with. And I just thought that there might be some correlation between my world and your world. And it sounds like maybe so, yeah. Right?
Yeah, 100%.
Anyway, so until we come back in here again to let me get some shit off my chest before I explode, thanks for coming on the program, Charlie.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Serious Growth Podcast. For more episodes like the one you just listened to, subscribe to us on your mobile podcast app and leave us a review. If you'd like to reach out, you can find us online at seriousgrowth.com. Until next time, train smart and train hard.